Blog Talk Radio.
Who is January Jones? She is not a young, beautiful, talented actress on Mad Men. She is not an older, gorgeous, exotic dancer from the Johnny Carson Show. She is an author, and she wrote Thou Shall Not Whine, the 11th Commandment, that reached number one at Amazon.com. She is a reality TV golf personality with World High Stakes Golf televised on HDNet. She is a humorist and winologist expert. She is your featured host today on January Jones Sharing Success Stories. So sit back, relax, and get ready to laugh and listen to Ms. Jones with her eclectic roster of guests as you learn life's lessons. These stories plus sharing equals success. Welcome, and remember, beware, because you are entering the no-whining world of January Jones.
Now let me ask you a question. Have you ever met an expert on the mafia? Tell me, have you ever been to Sicily? Have you ever wanted to know about a blog called The Mafia Exposed? Would you like to learn more about a mafia travel guide? And can you imagine meeting Sicilian gangsters like those people from The Godfather? Have you ever heard about a book called The Sicilian Mafia, A True Crime Travel Guide? Or better yet, would you like to meet someone who has some of the answers that we're looking for? Now, are you ready to learn how to be successful and how to enjoy a travel guide to Sicily? If you can answer yes or maybe to any of these questions, then you are in the right place. And I would like to welcome you to January Jones Sharing Success Stories. Today, I will be introducing you to my guest. This is the first time he has been on the show, and he will provide us with wonderful information and some really, really great advice about traveling to Sicily. I'm pleased to announce that this show is now live on Talk 4 Media and syndicated on iHeart Radio Talk with over 55 million subscribers. We are archived 24/7 for your listening pleasure at iHeart Radio. Also, LinkedIn announced that my profile was one of the top 5% most viewed last year. So now it's time for you to sit back and relax as you enter the no-wine zone. Pour yourself a glass of wine, get some cheese and crackers, and then have some chocolate. Now let me tell you about our guest today. Our guest is from the San Francisco Bay Area. He is a native who has written for the Oakland Tribune, IndieWire, and some other publications. He fell in love with Sicily on his first trip to the island in 1999, and he has returned many times since. In 2010, he began a blog called Mafia Exposed, which became the basis for his book. He is also a radio producer, disc jockey at KUSF FM San Francisco from 1990 to 23. His book is entitled The Sicilian Mafia, A True Crime Travel Guide. Welcome to the show today, Carl Russo. How are you?
I'm fine. Thanks for having me on the show, January.
Okay, well, I'm so happy to have you on the show. And the way we usually start the show off is I like to ask my guests how their success story began, where they were born, and who their early mentors were.
Well, as you said, I am a Bay Area native. I was born in Oakland and raised up in the wine country of Sonoma. A lot of Italians up there. A lot of them were grandkids of Italian farmers, winemakers, dairymen, and that sort of thing. So it was sort of like an Italian kind of community there, really. And the cemetery above was full of these incredible Italian graves, these beautifully ornate crypts with photographs, just as they do in Italy.
Yes.
And we always used to hang out up on the hill in the cemetery there. It was very fascinating, and some of that interest stuck with me throughout my life. And by the time I discovered Sicily for myself, it sort of fell right back into my childhood in a strange sort of way. As far as mentors, you know, I was not a true crime buff. I think I read two mafia books in my childhood. That's only because the Godfather movies were so popular.
Right.
But I think, and I can't say I really had any writing mentors. I just knew that I had to do it. And by the time I discovered the project of actually going around in Sicily and photographing mafia hotspots, landmarks from the history of the mafia, which sounds strange. It is strange. I was compelled to do it and finish it, even though it took me 6 or 7 years to do so.
Oh, wow. 6 to 7 years. That's amazing. You know, when you were talking about grandparents' graves, I always found that fascinating because my grandparents, on their tombstones, they have pictures. And all of the tombstones in that cemetery had pictures. And it was always fascinating for me to look at these pictures and see what these people look like rather than just looking at a name and a date. Now, this Godfather movie, that influenced you in a good way or a bad way?
Well, you know, when I was old enough to finally see The Godfather, I kind of fell in. They're fantastic movies, you know. I love the movies. But as I really kind of plumbed the depths of Sicily and Sicilian society and read about the current mafia, actually there are four main mafia groups in Italy, I realized it had no resemblance to the romanticized version of Don Corleone and the Brando and the Pacino characters. And it's really actually a lot more mundane. It's a lot more of a regular threat because everybody in Sicily, or at least maybe a good 90% of all merchants to this day, still have to fork over cash for the protection racket to the local crime family. It's still a big problem there. And the politics, the way that the mafia has infiltrated all the way up in a couple of cases to Parliament and Rome, in the case of two recent prime ministers, it's very easy to corrupt a lot of those politicians because they control the votes of the people. The local mafia boss can tell everybody who to vote for and then work their way into getting their hands on public money and that sort of thing. So it's still a problem, but it's absolutely fascinating because the movies actually do kind of hint at that exoticism. There is sort of that religious, that perverted Catholic code that they follow, or they sort of make up their own that's sort of based on Catholicism. So it's fascinating, you know, both the myth of the mafia and the reality of the mafia.
Right. And, you know, the reality sounds a lot very similar to what we are experiencing with the drug cartels and the drug lords in Mexico on our border. And it's a harsh, horrible fact of life that this group, it can be very, very dangerous, don't you agree?
Yes, absolutely. I think, though, the difference is there was a very good New Yorker article a few months ago about the capture of El Chapo, of the Sinaloa cartel in Mexico. The way that they work is it's almost like Al-Qaeda in that you have different cells that don't necessarily know what's going on, whereas the Italian mafias, it tends to be always just a power struggle for the boss to get up on top and control everything and take the lion's share of the money for himself and kill his way to the top to do it. But there are enough parallels there with the Mexican cartels. Certainly drugs have always been a big part of the profit scheme between the two.
Now, 6 to 7 years working on this book, how many trips to Sicily did you take in order to produce this book?
Well, I didn't start it right away in 1999. It wasn't until 2006 when I got there. I arrived a week after they caught the number one most wanted mafia fugitive, a guy by the name of Bernardo Provenzano. Now, this guy had been on the run since 1963, and they caught him in his hometown of Corleone. For many years, the police didn't even know if he was still alive because he was that good. But the circumstances were so strange, and this is what caught my interest initially, was that he was hiding out in this little cheese-making hut on the mountain overlooking Corleone. And he was surrounded by religious saints on the wall, and he was wearing, you know, crucifixes around his neck. And he was kind of living sort of like a hermit. And his empire was, his communications to his underlings was basically based on little typewritten notes that were scotch taped up and passed from hand to hand throughout Sicily. I said, man, that's weird. So I had to go to Corleone and find this little shack. It took a couple days just to get somebody to tell me where it was.
Yeah.
And when I got there, the police were still at the entrance to this road, and I drove past them, you know, and took the pictures and got out of there. So I didn't want to be interrogated. But that started me on this mad quest to try and photograph as many of these locations throughout the roughly century and a half history of the Sicilian mafia. It took so long because there's no list. I had to do research at home, in books, online, archives, newspapers, to find out where the bosses lived and where the victims lived and that sort of thing, where the massacres happened. That's why it took so long.
Sure. Now, explain to me these four main groups. Did each group have its own godfather, and then above them was the supreme godfather? How did it work?
No, you didn't really have, you know, one boss over all the four groups. So you had Cosa Nostra, that's the old Sicilian mafia, and the other one around Naples, which is called the Camorra, and that's in southern mainland Italy. And then down at the toe of the boot of Italy on the mainland, you've got the 'Ndrangheta. And then on the eastern mainland, you have the forest of the smallest of the four groups, and that's the Sacra Corona Unita, the United Sacred Crown. They all basically started as extortion rackets, shaking down the locals, that sort of thing. And only recently have they found links between them. There's a lot of cooperation, but they each had their own dominant godfathers, for lack of a better term.
Okay, so they didn't really work together, but they cooperated with each other. So if you were trying to get away from one group, you probably wouldn't be well received into the other group.
Yeah, that's a possibility. And they did each other favors through assassinations. You know, they would you know, send this group over, this group of hitmen, to go and take care of somebody. And, of course, that was just sort of cast the blame elsewhere. The police would make it harder to find exactly what happened.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. Well, that's right, because that group wouldn't have had a motive, where if the principal group assassinated them, they could track them very easily.
You got it.
Such a fascinating interview, Carl. I'm so glad that we can have you on the show today. And his book is entitled The Sicilian Mafia, A True Crime Travel Guide. Now, we've had travel guides before, but we've never had a true crime travel guide. We're going to hear from our sponsors, and we'll be right back with Carl Russo.
Do you desire more control over your money and financial matters? Would you like simple solutions to complex financial topics? Do you want more security in your financial future? If you answered yes to any of these questions, the book 101 Principles to Wealth is your answer. It's available now on Amazon.com. That's 101 Principles to Wealth by Charles Brokop. Order today.
Are you striving to find a job you love but don't know where to start? If so, you'll want to know about Career Esteem's Find a Great Job Fast program. Learn new ways of job searching and how to find the hidden jobs that aren't being advertised. You don't have to rely on job boards anymore. Shave weeks or months off your job search. Go to careeresteem.com and click on Find a Job to learn more. That's careeresteem.com and click on Find a Job. Contact Sherry Sambursky, careeresteem.com. Lately, there's a whining epidemic in our world. People are even whining about whining. Are you sick and tired of listening to everyone whining all the time? So was January Jones, the author of Thou Shall Not Whine, the 11th commandment that reached number one at Amazon.com. Ms. Jones based her book on a survey of the top 10 things that people whine about at all ages and all stages of life. January is a success coach that can tell you how to help others. When you buy Thou Shalt Not Whine, the 11th commandment, you'll find out what people whine about and how to stop them from whining. This is the perfect gift book to give or get for any occasion. Thou Shall Not Wine was voted the best gift to be given anonymously for those special people in your life. Ms. Jones is an internationally known author in the style of Irma Bombeck, specializing in housewife humor, with her book being published in Korea and China. You can find Thou Shall Not Wine at Amazon.com.
I'm pleased to announce that Charles Brokaw will be back with us on the show next week with all of his wonderful financial tips. And Sherry Samburski is a LinkedIn expert, and her interview with us is archived at iHeartRadio. And she gives some great tips and instructions on how to get LinkedIn and become savvy on the internet. We're back now with Carl Russo, and he is the author of The Sicilian Mafia, A True Crime Travel Guide. Now, how did you find these places in Sicily where the mafia, how did you find them? Did anyone tell you? How did you do this research?
Well, in many cases, I found an old archived article from the newspaper that I was able to download the photograph from. Mm-hmm. And I would show up in this village, and let's say it was where somebody was murdered, and there's specifically a building with a mountain in the back. Mm-hmm. I would actually just take this little photo print out and drive around in my rental car and try and match up where the building was. Now, there have been so many victims of the mafia, assassination victims, that they really honor them well by placing plaques and that sort of thing on the murder sites. So in many cases, it was a matter of going and finding them. Now, getting tombstones of both bosses and victims was very difficult because there are enormous graveyards over there. And there's always a custodian. Unless he's out to lunch, you can often ask, but you don't always get an answer. Sometimes they'll take you right over to it. If it's a victim, they'll take you right to it. If it's a boss, they, you know, would rather not have any kind of publicity, and they kind of, you know, they'll pretend that, you know, they don't know anything about it. So I'm wandering the rows of graves until I find them. You know, a lot of times it was just really a matter of, well, kind of stretching the truth. I didn't tell anybody what I was doing there. So sometimes I would just have to say, well, you know, I'm really interested in this village. My great-grandfather came from the area and just wanted to find out, kind of in a joking way, you know, where did the big boss live from the 1920s? And, you know, the old folks, they would often take me.
Now, did your grandparents come from Sicily?
No, they came from Salerno, which is south of Naples on the mainland.
Okay. And was the mafia active in Salerno?
Oh, sure. And, you know, it still is. The Camorra group of Naples is still a problem, particularly with taking over the garbage collection franchise and actually dumping a lot of real toxic trash in the area. It's really a problem. There's a great movie called Gomorra, as in Sodom and Gomorrah, that came out about 5 years ago that is a real expose on that. It's still a problem, but I have no direct connection with any mafiosi myself.
Okay, well, I'm glad to hear that. Now, what drew you to Sicily versus Salerno, where your family came from?
That's a very good question. I actually thought that I was Sicilian when I first went in 1999 because the city of Salerno sounds like the city of Palermo. That's what I thought my great auntie back in Pennsylvania told me. I thought she said Palermo. So, you know, I said, well, then I got to go to Sicily. And in the meantime, when I got there, what a fantastic place, because even though we've only been talking about the violence and the crime, it's a beautiful, endlessly fascinating place. You have a couple of millennia of architecture going back to perfectly restored Greek temples, better than anything you find in Greece, you know. Things are 2,000 years old and more. And all the Baroque churches and the fantastic beaches, the food, the wine, on and on. There are forests. People don't realize that it's actually quite green in many areas. And it's just like the biggest island in the Mediterranean, and it holds the most interest. It's just a fantastic place to visit. So once I was there, I was just hooked. I fell in love with Sicily.
Okay. Now, my next question is, do they have a chamber of commerce, and do you work for them?
No, I don't, but I don't mind being a booster for Sicily. I would love to see Americans go there. You know, the dollar has never really recovered, you know, about a decade ago or a little more, it was a 1-to-1 with the euro, and we're still always lagging behind. So it's expensive to go to mainland Italy, especially the typical Rome, Florence, Venice areas. But Sicily, you spend only a third there. Half of all tourists in Sicily come from the U.K., actually. So many Americans don't make it that far. Mm-hmm. But I highly recommend it. You're not in any danger of the mafia. Now, the hotel you stay at may be shaken down by the mafia. And in the intro to my book, I actually list a website of all the merchants that refuse to pay the pizza, that's the cash payment to the local boss. So you can actually do this ethically. But it's just such a wonderful place to go that tell your listeners, go.
Well, you know, I've been to Sardinia, and I imagine that Sicily would be very similar to that. It's in the same area. When you were doing this research, first of all, were you alone, and did you run into any trouble? Did you have any problems?
I did, but not with the mafia necessarily. It was with the police. I found out the hard way that you don't take pictures of a police station.
Oh.
I actually got a bit of wrong information from an anti-mafia museum in the town of Corleone. I was looking for the big house that the biggest, most vicious godfather of all, Totorina, had built for himself. And I was a couple doors down, and I took a picture of this police station, and the guard came out and rushed me. And, you know, they're paramilitary. They carry around submachine guns.
Sure.
I was quite frightened, and so the senior officer comes out. They ask me what I'm doing. I do speak Italian, though not Sicilian. And I told them exactly what happened, and that was okay. But I had two other run-ins with the cops, too, basically because I was poking around in a little village that doesn't receive too many tourists and just drawing too much attention to myself.
Oh, okay. So you have to be very discreet. Now, why would they object to you taking a picture of a police station? I could see where they might not want you to take a picture of the godfather's house, but what was the problem with the police station?
Mainly because throughout the late 70s through the early 90s, there were scores of police officers that were assassinated.
Oh.
Now, I mentioned this big godfather, Totorina. He mowed down everybody in his way. He ordered the killings of judges, police officers, journalists, anti-mafia activists. And we're talking to the tune of about 1,000 victims. So it's very sensitive there. And the threats are still there. This guy is in prison, this Totorina. And last year, somebody, the police actually wiretapped his conversation with another mafia boss.
Uh-huh.
And he is still wants to assassinate everybody from a big anti-mafia priest on down to the current head of the anti-mafia unit, the whole police apparatus that fights the mafia. So the threats are still there in a serious way because it looks like he still kind of controls the mafia from prison.
Yeah, so when going to prison doesn't put you out of the picture, does it? You can still stay in control and still run. That's an amazing thing. So I can see why the police are pretty intimidated working with this.
Here's the thing. A few years ago, well, let's see, maybe a decade ago, they passed some really harsh anti-mafia laws that when a boss is locked up, he's cut off. Because, yes, you're right. They always used to be able to carry on business as usual from the jail cell. So their communication has been completely cut off except for a few family members. And they're thinking that this was Totorina's chance to actually put messages out there. One of the high-ups in the anti-mafia movement, just today I was reading the Italian newspaper, is saying that he thinks that Rina knows that he was being taped in this conversation, and that was his chance to possibly put the word out, I want this guy dead, I want this guy dead, etc.
And then it happened probably, huh?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, no. The assassinations? No.
Yeah.
Not yet, you know, but certainly security is beefed up.
Yeah.
And it's a constant struggle, budget-wise, to actually get armored cars for all the judges that currently process and oversee the mafia trials.
Okay, now you mentioned a mafia priest. Is this a contradiction?
If I said mafia priest, I was talking about an anti-mafia priest.
Oh, an anti-mafia.
Yeah, this is the problem with the two authority figures, and this doesn't count the mayor because the mayor is often bought off and controlled by the local boss. But the priest and the mafia boss have always, they didn't work hand in hand, but they were the two authority figures, essentially. And just a couple of months ago, there was a funeral procession that went by the boss of the town, his house, where he was under house arrest. And the Madonna, the statue they were carrying of the Virgin Mary, bowed and stopped and paid sort of a tribute to the boss's house. This is an old tradition, but this time it went viral, the news of this. And so, you know, even to the point where Pope Francis spoke out against this. So that's always a problem. Hopefully the Pope, in visiting the area where that took place, can drive a wedge between the authorities in these towns, between the boss and the local priest, to basically always just look the other way.
Yeah. You know, this is such a fascinating interview, Carl, but we're going to take a break and hear from our fascinating sponsors. And when we come back, we're going to talk about whether Sicilian gangsters lead a glamorous lifestyle such as we all witnessed watching The Godfather. We'll be right back with Carl Russo.
Do you want to learn how to live into your dreams? One Door Closes, Overcoming Adversity by Following Your Dreams. The new book by Tom Ingracia and Jared Kredimski captures the thought-provoking stories of 16 people from all walks of life who have triumphed over adversity to achieve their goals. Plus, you'll get 10 self-assessment tools to design your own blueprint for success. Unlock your true potential. Fulfill your dreams. Be inspired. One Door Closes is available from Amazon.com.
Have you ever met someone who was unforgettable? Someone who has touched your heart and soul? People who have faced difficult problems? People who have fearlessly shared their stories, their struggles, and their successes. People who have priceless personalities. In my new book, Priceless Personalities, Success Stories Shared by January Jones, I am honored to be able to share with you people dealing with problems such as incest, molestation, child abuse, drug abuse, polygamy, unemployment, scandal, starting over, self-esteem, and workplace issues. My guests have all been exciting, eclectic, and energizing. They will amaze, amuse, and even astonish you. You will adore getting to meet them at Amazon.com. My book is now available, 2-for-1, paperback and Kindle editions.
I'm pleased to announce that Tom Ingracia and Jared Kominski will be back with us later in the month, sharing another chapter from their book, One Door Closes. Also, I'm very pleased to announce that Priceless Personalities is now available at audiobook.com, and it's just come out, and in the last few days, I'm very, very excited. I hope that our listeners will buy it. You can download it on your iPad or your iPhone, and you will be listening to 9 of the most fascinating interviews that we have ever done on this show. Today, we're back with The Sicilian Mafia, a true crime travel guide, Carl Russo. Carl, let's talk a little bit about the glamorous lifestyle that the Sicilian gangsters do or do not lead. Tell us what it's like.
Well, it's quite interesting. You know, the mafia has always been such an integral part of Sicilian society, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. And the local boss was not only just the boss, but he often was in business for himself, whether it was a front or a legitimate situation. You might find that the local guy, and particularly in the smaller villages, he might own a muffler shop, or, you know, have the stables with horses, that sort of thing. So, and a lot of times, he wasn't seen as somebody that is, you know, you kiss his hand like in the old Godfather days of 80, 90 years ago, but just somebody who would go to bat for you. That's why you paid off protection money, that sort of thing. So when you see police footage these guys kind of look like slobs. The police, the only way to catch them is really to set up all kinds of interceptions on the phone and plant spy cams and that sort of thing. I watch these things. Fortunately, a lot is online. And they'll be wearing a polo shirt over sweatpants and uh-huh. You know, they're meeting inside a restaurant or outside a restaurant, and they're not glamorous. Mm-hmm, the mm-hmm. current most wanted fugitive, a guy by the name of Matteo Messina Denaro, was a pretty flashy guy. Uh-huh. He loved Porsches and that sort of thing and dressed up. There have been a few of these figures, but mainly that's kind of stupid because you're going to get caught if you're flashy. So yeah. They really, you know, on the DL, as they say, and on down low, they really are discreet about things. If anything, some of the bosses have been more influenced by Hollywood. So uh-huh. You remember Al Pacino's film Scarface?
Yes. Uh-huh.
They recently got a guy whose nickname was Scarface because he loved it. He kind of emulated that character. There was another Naples gangster who actually built a house more or less to match Scarface's house in the movie. So they mm-hmm. love it. When they catch these guys, they often find that they have, you know, soundtracks from The Godfather or yeah. different mafia movies on DVD, that sort of thing.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, it appears to be flashy is not a good thing. As we all know from the Las Vegas story about Bugsy Siegel, he was a little too flashy. And I would think it would be important to be discreet in order to protect your families. Isn't that a concern?
Oh, absolutely, yes. And it's a pretty harsh family life for the women, by mm-hmm. the way, because they are really just sort of the silent sufferers in all this, whereas the sons tend to go along and become bosses of their own.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And the mothers watch this happen.
Yeah.
Now, while you were there, did you ever personally meet any mafia people?
The closest I came was I was hanging out in a bar, which is more like a coffee bar, mm-hmm. In downtown Palermo, which is the capital, the largest city in Sicily. And a very striking young lady walked in, and I had been chatting at the waiters, just, you know, they were interested in America, and I was interested mm-hmm. in Sicily. And they said, don't even look at her. She's the boss's daughter.
Daughter.
I thought that they meant the boss of the bar. And they said, no, the boss.
The boss.
La mafia? Si. No, si. And, you know, that was actually the first time I got a notion that there was still something going on there with regards to the mafia. It's really tough to tell. There are a few times when I asked directions that the reaction I got, particularly in the cities, was one of extreme suspicion.
Mm-hmm.
One time I took a picture in a piazza, which had a little farmer's market going on, and the guy started yelling at me, you know, who are you? And I always keep my rental car double parked and mm-hmm. running, just idling, you know, and I said, turista, and just got in the car and took off. What's really difficult is a lot of the times there's such ancient labyrinthine alleys, you know, that you can really just get lost in those things.
Yeah.
They go back to the original Arabic city plans. So it's like a maze. It's like a puzzle. So I would often sort of, you know, case the joint and figure out what my getaway route would be.
Okay. So this is a very, a lot of adrenaline going on, this book research. Now tell us, Carl, why does your book focus on the murders in such graphic detail?
Well, because it truly is what defines the mafia. It's what we know the mafia most for, and because it is a horrible tragedy. There's really no other way to know what goes on until a murder happens, and that's when the uh-huh. police discover that there is actually a mafia group. But also, you know, it is very intriguing. We do all have sort of a morbid curiosity. The other thing that my book focuses on is the anti-mafia movement, and I mm-hmm. profile many activists who stood up to the mafia under threats. Their family disowned them. They were, you know, completely, the villagers turned their back on them because these guys said no to the mafia, knowing they were going to die.
Yeah.
I feel that if my book has any real contribution to the anti-mafia movement, it's the fact that I have brought out the profiles of these people for the first time to the English language. A lot of these people, even the local villagers, didn't even know about. So that I'm hoping to kind of resurrect the memory of these very brave anti-mafia activists.
Well, I think you're very brave to write this book. Did you have any concerns about your own safety after it was published?
Well, the fact is, nothing in this book will send any bosses to prison. These are not fresh exposés. You know, I have a 4-page bibliography. It's based on a lot of research. So
okay.
I think, if anything, I'm going to anger some of them. The most wanted boss I mentioned, his family tomb is in there, the tomb of his father, a photograph of it and where it is.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that kind of thing. They have to really just sort of figure out if it's really worth going after somebody, because to be assassinated in America, by the Sicilian mafia, it's just too unlikely.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've kind of written some controversial things about the Kennedy families, and I know when you do cross that line and go into controversy, it can be you must be concerned. What was the most difficult aspect of writing this book for you?
I think probably arranging it in such a way that it could be both a tour guide and a concise history of the mafia.
Uh-huh. Okay.
This is besides where my knees were shaking, taking a picture of a boss's house. But once I got it all together, I got a publishing deal, and I essentially had 6 months to finish it. And so I'm trying to throw it all together because, you know, I'm writing about like 100 different villages and so many, a couple hundred characters, how to arrange it all in 6 months' time. And my dad gets diagnosed with late stages of both lung and liver cancer. They never tested him because he lived such a clean life.
Uh-huh.
And so he dies within a month of this diagnosis. And so it was like, I'm under deadline. And,
and you've got a tragedy.
And you know, dealing with my family and my loss and being with my mother and everything. That was what was so difficult, was that last 6 months of throwing it all together and actually finishing it.
Oh, yeah. Well, writing a book is difficult anyway. Meeting the deadlines with a publisher is really difficult. And then losing a parent, how tragic. You know, we're going to take a break. And when we come back with Carl, we're going to talk about the Pope, who has recently excommunicated all mafia members. And what an amazing thing to happen in our lifetime. We'll be right back with Carl Russo.
Second time around can be better. Second timers try harder. Looking to have a rewarding second marriage? Any marriage. Read Successful Second Marriages by Patricia Bubash. She interviews a variety of couples that have succeeded in their second attempt. Each story reflects that the second marriages can be tough going, yet be the best of the best. Learn from these couples who share their intimate stories, how they struggled with difficulty and have thrived. Stories such as, "Our kids drove us apart. We separated 5 times in 4 years. 4 months into our marriage, my 85-year-old father-in-law came to live with us. 1 year into our marriage, I was diagnosed legally blind. Death of my eldest child brought grief, depression into our new marriage." Successful Second Marriages is encouraging, hopeful, inspiring. Available on Amazon.com in book form and ebook. Read Pat's musings at www.successfulsecondmarriages.com.
Are you a fitness professional, a trainer, or a coach? Would you like consistent and timely updates on your team's performance? We have a completely customizable app that can give you real-time information via the internet or your handheld phone. Track the performance of your client's progress with their physical fitness regimen. Track team members' performance or schedule a workout session. Meet up at the gym, on the bike trail, or wherever your physical activities take you. The app is called Socially Fit, or SoFit, and can be found on the iTunes Store. Look for the blue Socially Fit icon. When combined with data analysis capabilities, you not only feel the effects of your fitness routine, you also see the graphical progress of your results. The app makes the complex simple, so that more of your time is spent sculpting your physique with less time tracking your results with old-fashioned pen and paper. Download it today to begin a new year with data to show your progress in meeting your goals. Are you socially fit?
I hope all of you listening will become socially fit this year. It is my intention to do so too. I'm pleased to announce that Pat Bubash will be back with us next week discussing successful second marriages. We're visiting with Carl Russo. And Carl, could you please share your website information and share with my listeners how they can get your book?
Okay. Well, the blog, mafiaexposed.com, is full of a lot of stuff that I was not able to put into the book, actually. I had to cut a lot of stuff out. So that's mafiaexposed.com. I'm also on Twitter. It's at mafiaexposed, Facebook and all of that stuff. It's all collected together. My book is available in bookstores and Amazon. I always try to get people to support their local independent bookstore if you can. And the publisher Strategic Media Books has put it out. They do a lot of various gangster profiles. This is their only Sicilian or Italian mafia book. So strategicmediabooks.com is also another source.
Okay, wonderful. We've got 2 minutes, Carl. Could you share with my listeners what about this Pope excommunicating all these mafia members? What will happen next?
I think it's a great strategy. I think that he's trying to really reduce the power that these mafia bosses have. So suddenly if you made them illegitimate, because they're all Catholic, they all go to church and all that stuff, if you were able to tell a mafia member that he can no longer get married in a church, or that someone's mafioso uncle can't be get a church funeral, that sort of thing, it's really going to just wipe out their power. I hope that that will happen. But, you know, old traditions really die hard that way.
Yeah. Well, it's probably a very bold and brave move for the Pope to make. Now, the next question is, what about the Prime Minister? Is he in the mafia?
Well, the current one, no, he's not. But there were two, but the most famous one is Berlusconi. Silvio Berlusconi, of course, people know him here for his crazy parties and underage hookers. He's the richest man in America, media mogul, but actually his very close friend, a senator, was last year found guilty of mafia association. So he's in prison for 7 years. This senator actually set up a meeting with the mafia and Berlusconi in the early 70s, and Berlusconi at that point started paying a lot of protection money as he built his construction and media empires. So even though Berlusconi is still, you know, a big figure and with a lot of influence in Italy, man, he's got a past, but he won't go away, unfortunately.
Yeah, that sounds for sure. My last question is, obviously it was safe for you, but is Sicily safe for tourists too?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, just like traveling here or London or anywhere else, you got to watch out for street crime, petty theft, but that has nothing to do with being in Sicily. There's just so many fantastic sites to see. And with all of, like I said, the 2,000 years of religious and cultural relics and traditions and festivals that take place and all the cuisine and everything, I really recommend you go. And September is one of the most beautiful months to go. It's not too hot
September.
And certainly not cold.
Oh, it sounds wonderful. And I know it's a beautiful part of the world to visit. And Carl, I want to thank you so much for coming on our show today and sharing your wonderful book. We look forward to having you back many times in the future. And it's such a fascinating story that you have told. Thank you for being on the show today.
My pleasure, January. Thank you.
To my wonderful listeners, we hope you've enjoyed our show today with Carl Russo. He's been quite fascinating, hasn't he? My upcoming guests will all amaze, amuse, and astonish you just like Carl did today. This is the show where you hear inspiring information that will help you to become successful too. I would love to welcome you to our wonderful No Whining world. When you can, please sign on to my website, januaryjones.com, with your name and email, and you will get a free download. We really love sharing our stories, our struggles, and our secrets for success. It's our hope we can encourage all of you to emulate our guests today and every day. Remember my mantra, if you think it, then you can do it. So for now, dear friends, please stop with the whining and then start smiling and then start sharing our show with everyone you know. And if that doesn't work, have some wine, cheese, crackers, and then start eating chocolate. Lots and lots of chocolate. Again, thank you to my guest today, Carl Russo. This is January Jones thanking you for joining me today on my journey and reminding you to take care and stay safe as we close with music by Sorantos.
Hi, this is Sorantos. Check out my trending rock song called Nothing to Hide. 33% of all profits for this song are going straight to the American Cancer Society. I hope you enjoyed my song. Listen to my other songs for free on my website at www.melogia.com.
We want to thank you for listening to January Jones Sharing Success Stories. Always remember Ms. Jones' personal mantra, if you can think it, you can do it. That's what all of our guests have done with their lives, and so can you. You are the ultimate success coach in your own life. All you need to do will be to start sharing your own story with your family and friends. We hope that our guest stories will encourage you to explore an equation in your future that will combine your creativity plus connecting with others will enable you to be successful too. Always remember, your passion plus your purpose will equal prosperity as you explore the wonderful world of January Jones.